Hello and welcome to PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric podcast series. My name is Jeff Good, and this podcast series serves as a companion to our City-Centric TV series, which takes a closer look at the community members that are centric or central to the pulse of each featured city. Community members like the entrepreneur or the entertainer or the revitalizer, the politician, the humanitarian, and the future are all featured in each of the city-centric episodes appearing weekly exclusively on PBS Western Reserve starting in September. The City-Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members, looking even further into what makes them city-centric and then what makes their city centric to them. Today's guest is Tony Tropi. Tony is an Akron entrepreneur and preservationist, a student of the classics in architecture. He holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in philosophy from the College of Worcester. Land planning, place building, and managing real estate development projects have been Tony's primary focus for over three decades. Tony has rehabilitated more than 300,000 square feet of Akron's historic buildings and is passionate about history, patterns of progress, and problem solving, which he has really used these passions to develop a successful real estate and construction career. Tony views his work as his contribution to making Summit County and the wonderful city of Akron the place to live and prosper. Tony, thank you so much for being part of the City Centric podcast series today, focusing on the great city of Akron.
It's great to be here. I really appreciate you having me up today. Let's talk about good ideas.
Well, first of all, I gave a quick bio of you, but could you take a moment, talk to our listeners about, take a moment to kind of describe yourself in a little more detail to our listeners?
Well, sure. I'm a student of the past, and I understand the historic significance and the ideas of storytelling that occurred in great places. We look for the characters, and we look for the cast, and we look for the setting, and we look for the storyline. By being a student of the past, you can help develop a path and a pattern for how to address the future. So they're intertwined in an elegant way, and as we study those ideas, we can incorporate them into our good work that we have planned every day. So I'm involved in placemaking, which is taking those historic stories of place and helping them rediscover, first off, and then reinvent for a whole new audience, a whole new generation, that it makes it a relevant, sustainable, and economic viable model for change. That's what we get to do as stewards of the past.
Tony, I do this with every guest, so it's a quick icebreaker game. I want you to give me two truths and a lie about you, and I'll try to guess the lie. Now, let me prepare you ahead of time. I'm 100% so far with all of our guests. I've been really good about figuring out their lie. So I've got you on the spot.
Okay, so you don't want me to tell you what's truth and what's a lie?
Just tell me two truths and a lie about you, but don't tell me what they are, and I'm going to figure out what the lie is.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you three statements, and you're going to tell me which ones are true. How's that?
Good. We can do it that way. Awesome. That's great.
That's more positive, right?
Exactly.
All right. So two truths. The first one would be that I really have an attitude of gratitude. I'm thankful for so many things all the time, every day. And I get up and face reality with a can-do attitude, one of gratitude. So there's two pieces there. There's gratitude, but there's a sense of expectant joy. That when you put good ideas together with thy will be done. Now you are empowered to get a big idea across the board. I gave you two pieces there. One with an attitude of gratitude and one with expectant joy. Okay? Now the third one I'm going to give you is a little more whimsical, but it's true nonetheless. I've always been told I got a great face for radio. And that's really what we're trying out today. And it's about the selection of words, and it's about the intonation, it's about the delivery. I'm really a student of Ken Nordine, and he came out with this beautiful celebration of jazz called Word Jazz. And all you gotta do is look up Ken Nordine and you'll get a real trick and really understand the joy of having a face for radio. So you tell me which of those three you don't believe.
I hate to say it, Tony, but I believe all three of those. How's that?
That's beautiful.
I it's truly beautiful. there's not a single one of those that I do not believe about you in the short period of time that we've been talking.
That's beautiful. Well, if you got a good shot of my mug, you'd see that I also got a great face for television. So we're going all the way with this show today.
Wonderful.
What can we talk about next?
Okay. Well, you know, you mentioned in the interview for City Centric, you mentioned one of the big starting points in Akron was assisting that area to become a federally designated historic district. And that was really kind of the impetus for growth. So for folks that are listening, what kind of, you don't have to get into a lot of detail, but what does it really take to make an area a federally designated historic district? And just kind of give an idea, you know, some of the hurdles or things that you learned along the way as you did that.
I like that. The story really unfolds with regards to understanding the connectivity of places, these nodes of activity that historically had been generators of interesting stories of historic characters, building cities, inventing cities, innovating, using industrial revolution to turn the tide on a place that had been a bucolic pastoral canal setting along the Great Lakes to now becoming a city of change and a city of opportunity for generations across the board. So when you start looking at the city of Akron and its historic significance, I mean, we're coming up on 1825 now, okay? It's about 1825, and Akron's going to be born officially. Now we're coming up on 2025, so we are getting ready to celebrate our bicentennial. And these are things that are interesting from a historic national perspective, international perspective. This is newsworthy. So we have a job to collect these districts, these nodes of activity, these collections of buildings, parks, walkways, cemeteries, all types of historic landmarks if have been built within the past 50 years, it qualifies to be a historic building. Now, if you got a bunch of historic buildings in a collection, now you create a district, and that enables you to do a whole series of interesting financial arrangements that can be done with the assistance of the state and the federal organizations. So all good ideas can come out with designations by the U.S. Park Service and the Department of the Interior. They actually become partners, affecting change that they want to see done. They want to see urban areas renewed and revived, sustained. It's the smartest thing you can do environmentally. So you create these historic districts. And in those districts, then, state and fed says, here, happy day, you're doing our job. Thank you. You're getting it handled. You're a responsible steward of funds that you've been given. Here, make it happen again. So we were instrumental in not only creating federal historic districts in downtown Akron, but we were making sure that the state level was participating as well. So we went to the department, the State Historic Preservation Office and Ohio Economic Development, and we showed them how all these states around us, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, every one of these folks had a state credit that they would give you for being involved in historic district development. So Ohio was the only one that didn't. We went down and talked to Taft, took a year, two, three, but we finally got it done. And now we had the state's involvement. So the 1-2 punch comes out by recognizing the stories of yesteryear and creating districts around them so that you can use them as development tools.
It's interesting, Tony, that I see the common thread that you keep mentioning is you talk about historic buildings and you talk about stories that they hold. And in the City Centric interview, you talked about the importance of preserving those historic buildings for not only the stories that they hold, but then those stories that can be retold. So I'm going to question you about what are some interesting stories of some of those historic buildings you've been involved with in Akron that may not have told their story yet. What are some, I know you've talked about ones that have their stories, but what are some ones you say, Moa, they really haven't told their story yet?
Not maybe the whole story, but they've been telling stories all along. And we just got to recognize that we're in these chapters of change. So there'll be other stories told beyond us, but our time is now. So we make stories for today. So what is relevant and interesting? It's relevant and interesting where you see art becoming an economic development tool. It becomes the engine that brings people together for the right reasons and get a focus on what is we have in common as opposed to our differences. And there becomes a sense of unity that can be brought together by people who are working together to tell a good story. And that's why placemaking is such an important art form that we're rediscovering here in our community. We're becoming placemaking central. And how does that occur? You take a historic piece of architecture and you adapt it with new state of mechanicals, all new technologies and communication systems, new windows. You rebuild the great shell that's already there and you infill it with artists and art lovers, people who are doing commercial art on different levels, but that can get in and find a stimulating work environment to add to their creativity. And it's mixed use, so people live there in the same environment. So that's occurred at the epicenter at Main and Market, the Blue Zone. That's been at the boutique, but a boutique hotel. So we took an office building, built 71 rooms there. Bonvoy partnered, Marriott loved our brand. Blue, it's more than a color. It's an acronym, you see. So blue is a zone that is just starting to enter into its identity. So in time, all Main and Market, the crossroads of commerce and culture, will continue to evolve as a center for arts, hospitality, and service. It's a residential zone. It's a neighborhood. People live there. People work there. People play there. People stay there. That story is getting told again and again. It had been the Academy of Music in 1871. Buffalo Bill performed there. John Wilkes Booth's brother, Edwin, and the beautiful Sarah Bernhardt was there. So historically, it was an art center. Now what we're doing, we're turning it into a complete mixed-use, extended-stay hospitality node right at the front door to our city. So that's continuing to evolve. We're working over there at Blue Jazz. It's a great little happening. We're working over there in the Castle Hall building. It's going to be reinvented here soon. We're building lofts there contiguous to that historic building as we open up the third floor in the ballroom. We're working at the High Street Hop House and the Totally Baked, and we're building that right into a connected elevated promenade that goes down Maiden Lane and links up the Everett building all the way out to Market Street. So there's a series of stories that are continuing to unfold right here in the Blue Zone. So we're working over there in the Orange Zone. I'm talking about our exciting events, Akron.com. Talk to me about that for a minute. Do you have any familiarity with that yet?
Well, let me get back to our listeners real quick, and then we'll hit on that. But I just want to let our listeners know that they're listening to what PBS Western Reserve City Centric podcast series. The City Centric television series is not just about the city, but more about the people that are central or centric to that particular city. This TV series focuses on the revitalizers, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, the humanitarian, and we even look into the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. The City Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members, looking even further into what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city centric to them. So be sure to catch all of the City Centric Season 1 appearing exclusively on PBS Western Reserve, and that's premiering in September. So we're so pleased to continue our conversation with Akron Revitalizer Tony Tropy and finding out a little bit more about that whole HUG event space in Akron. And I'm a color coding guy, so you touched upon the blue area. You started talking about orange. Let's talk a little bit more about that whole event space.
Awesome. Well, really what we got going here in Highland Square, it's a promontory. It's a high point, and it's a beautiful elevation up from the Market Street. So it's positioned in a great location near Highland Square and West Hill. It's a old temple, Israel, that had been place for light and community and love and law and beauty and joy and all types of good occurred at this building since 1917. So it's got the energy of place. It's got the legacy of having been doing a great good for our community. Well, demographics relocate, people relocate, buildings go idle, and then they can fall into disrepair. Well, this is a classic example of adaptive reuse. It's still an assembly hall. It's still a gathering spot. It's still all of the great gathering components that make a place vibrant with people celebrating life and love and art. So we have now taken it into its next chapter as a creative arts collaborative center. It's a gathering place for artists and art lovers again, and it has an auditorium that seats 300. It has a special event banquet facility that seats 275, so you can have all kinds of life celebrations and parties and weddings and fundraisers and dances, and all kinds of great things can occur in that room with a big commercial kitchen. And so we attract the best and the brightest to our blue zone. But that only holds about 140 down there at Blue, and the Blue Social holds about 140. Now, Musica down the alley holds 300, 400 plus. And now we have an event space that can be a gathering spot for more people that's walkable, because a lot of these folks are coming right from their neighborhood. So it's easy to get to, and it's mixed use, because we're going to be putting in artists in residencies, studio lofts there. So I'm all excited about the acronym. You know, just like, you know, blue's more than a color, BLU. HUG is an acronym, and it is actually Highland Universal Gathering Spot. It's known as simply HUG. Or if you get fancy and you put the umlaut over the U, which I like to do as we go international now with the quality of our acts, then you've got not a sound, you got a ew sound. So it becomes a huge HUG. You see, it's a place that you can embrace, but it gives you back so much more by the quality of the relationships that you'll build through this establishment. It's taking historic places and relighting them.
I find it interesting.
Highland Universal Gathering.
That you use the term light. And so one of the comments you make that I just, amongst all of the comments that you've made in our interview here today, as well as in City Centric, is you use the term reflect and shine the light as a term that you use a lot when you're talking about your work in Akron. So I had talked to you a little bit about this previously. What are some new areas in Akron that you are seeing now starting to reflect and shine their light? And then better yet, what areas in Akron are you observing are just starting to get shined up, for lack of a better term?
Well, that's a great question, because there's so much good going on in our city. I would be I'd be remiss not to try to name them all right now, but I can't. So I'm going to be remiss. But the point is that all of these cool things are happening as we embrace our history, as we begin to think in terms of how we can use these old places to be relevant for a new generation. The smartest thing that we can do environmentally is to adaptively reuse. New construction, it's expensive, it's hard, it's difficult. So you got to take advantage of these old buildings while you have them. Hey, you got the footer in. Hey, you got the walls up. Hey, you got the roof. Hey, go fix that stuff. Because it's better to use these things than put them in landfills. So there's a big environmental responsibility box check there. So I'm all about figuring out things that are trying to get torn down. It's like, hey, wait a second. Do we really want to tear that down? All right. So there's a series of old churches over there at Market and Forge. And, you know, they had a fire. And, you know, now they're just ruins. And it's our job now to help take them and adaptively reuse them and nurture them back for good. And it takes time, and it takes innovation, and it takes smart, and it takes finances. And all of these possibilities can occur as you come up with a plan that's focused on history and its prime location. Right there off Route 8, it's positioned between Stark Technical Campus and the University of Akron. We're going to build an invention innovation center, a Lewis Miller tradition. Why? Who's Lewis Miller? Well, that's a whole nother history lesson that we'll need to know getting ready for our upcoming bicentennial that Dave Lieberth is spearheading. So City of Akron is in tune with their history, and they're able to tell its significant role in invention and innovation and how we've led the world always with our good ideas. So it's a continuum. It's a legacy that we are continuing. And so we're going to put a new innovation center right there on the edge of the campus there by Route 8. And it's going to be simply pure. It's going to be pure. It's going to be an electric car charging innovation hub, both the technologies for sustainable materials, solar energies, all types of great thinking is going to come out of these old buildings that were slated for demolition.
So Tony, I'm going to ask you this last question. And before I do that, I wish there was a way I could bottle your enthusiasm. You have really recharged me today. I'm going to spend a little bit of time, though, looking up a lot of the words that you've used, because they're much too big for me. So I'm going to have to look all those up. But really appreciate your time today, Tony. So I'm going to ask you a last question.
Well,
Tony Tropi, Akron entrepreneur, preservationist, revitalizer, What qualities, characteristics, personalities, or a combination of all of those makes you city-centric?
That's a beauty. Gratitude, humility, tenacity. Go to the epicenter. You're going to the city center. I'm going to the epicenter. I'm going to Main and Market, right at the crossroads of commerce and culture. And I'm going to look up and I'm going to see a bright light. It's going to guide this city on the hill. For that, we can all be eternally thankful and figure out ways that we can show gratitude with our lives every day.
Tony, thank you so much for being our guest on City Centric Podcast Series. It's been recharging for me at the very least. So thank you so much for your time.
Go Pure Charge. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for the opportunity today. That was fun. Go to eventsakron.com, ladies and gentlemen. We'll do it again. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tony. You've been listening to PBS Western Reserve City Centric Podcast Series. I'm Jeff Good. And PBS Western Reserve City-Centric television series is not just about the city, as we've heard from Tony today, but more about the people that are central or centric to that particular city. The TV series, premiering exclusively in September on PBS Western Reserve, it focuses on folks like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, humanitarian, and even a look at the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. That City-Centric podcast series, which you're listening to now, takes a deeper dive with each of our City-Centric featured community members as we look even further into what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city central or centric to them. So what makes a community member city-centric? Well, you know what? Join us next time as we continue the conversation with those featured community members on PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric series, and make sure to check out the City-Centric series premiering in September exclusively on PBS Western Reserve.